Telemachus helped end the games just by revealing through his life, through his words, how tragic and desperate and wrong the games were, where people were killing each other for entertainment. Jesus said to his own disciples in the Gospel of Matthew, and also recorded in Luke, he said to them, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a basket bushel, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all of the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Last week, during the children's sermon at 11 o'clock, the person doing the congregation, how many of you made up New Year's resolutions? It's only been a few weeks ago. Okay, I'll put this back. Oh, there it is. Now I can hear me out there. They asked the congregation, how many of you made New Year's resolutions? And only about 3 hands went up. How many of you made New Year's resolutions? Nobody. Wow, no hands. Why is it that no one makes New Year's resolutions anymore? Why don't they do that? Why? Because you break them. So why make them? And what are the New Year's resolutions most people make?
Exercise.
Lose weight. Save money. Eat better. All these things, you know, with our bodies, you know, we want to look better, feel better. But what if we focused, instead of on the outside all the time, we focused on the inside? What if a New Year's resolution was, I'm going to worry less than I do all the time, or I'm going to find a way to be happier about things in my life? I'm going to spend more time with, you know, enjoying my children or my spouse or my parents or whatever. I'm going to spend more time with people. What if we made resolutions that had to do with like a quality of our inner being rather than just the outside things that we think about? And I think that's part of the struggle we have. Today, I want to talk about vulnerability, and I want to talk about it in the sense of the inner person. Being vulnerable, or the ability to be vulnerable, is a risky endeavor, especially when we go inside. You know, some of you grew up in the 70s, and you might remember the 60s and 70s, and they say if you remember the 60s, you really weren't there. But the 60s and 70s was a time where people were going out to find themselves. And the parents of those kids that were leaving home to say, I got to go find myself, thought it was a stupid saying. You know, what do you mean you got to go find yourself? You're right here. You know, you look at yourself. But what they meant, and I think what they would discover out there, is that they really needed to look in here. The journey outward was really a journey inward to find out, who am I? What am I doing here at this time? What's my purpose? Why do I exist at this point in life? What am I supposed to do with my life? What are my passions? It was a journey inward. And sometimes that journey inward can be pretty frightening. A lot of us find ourselves afraid of going inside. We don't want to remember a lot of things that happened in our past. We've kind of like tried to erase some of the bad things, hide them away, forget them. We think that if we bury them and let them go, that they'll never bother us again. But Paul even expressed the struggle because the old man that he thought was dead and buried kept rising back up inside of him, kept coming back. And it's only till you face those things, face that thing that you want to bury and hide and really confront it, do you take control. Otherwise, it just keeps controlling you as you keep going. the journey inward Jesus would tell us, and what he's saying in a sense to his disciples, is when you go inside, you're going to discover that you are the light for this world. You are the salt of the earth. Now, we need to understand a little bit more about what that meant for the people then so we can relate it to ourselves today. Salt of the earth. And what does that mean? Well, earth was another word, or was related to the earth ovens that people had at their homes. People didn't have ovens inside the house. You couldn't have fires going inside your home. An ideal home was a one-room house with a courtyard in the front. And in the courtyard, there would be this oven that you had, an earthen oven. There would be two stoves on it so that you could do a couple of things while you're cooking. There would also be a dunghill and chickens and cows or whatever other animals you could afford, and a grindstone to grind the meal, the wheat. That was the ideal home. If you were poorer, there would just be an oven for the community that you would use. An earthen oven. Now, to the dunghill was important. You guys know what dung is, you kids? You do? What is it? Yeah, you're right. It's poop. Okay. A dunghill is the animal's poop, you know, that they would leave there. And what they would do is they would put salt on this drying dung and use that and make plates out of it that they would put into the oven, and the salt would help get the fire going nice and hot. And so these salt plates were created using dung, the salt put on the dung. Now, I remember their dung had a lot of grass and stuff in it, so it was combustible. So here we have Jesus saying that you are the salt of the earth. He's talking about for the oven to burn, to make fire, to be able to cook with. You know, we always think of salt as a seasoning that we put on our foods to make them taste better, and that's true. Salt had that purpose too. It brings out the God flavors of this world is what we're supposed to do. But there's also this sense that when he says salt of the earth, we're the salt that's used to cook, to bring life, to cook and bring the bread of life, God, into the world. And the lamp that he talks about, you know, the reason that they needed just the lamp and put it in the center of the room is it would light both edges or both sides of the house inside. Now, a house inside wasn't like our homes. Their homes were very simple. It was a single room divided by a half wall, just a wall that went up to about here. On the one side of that small wall were where people slept or hung out when it was raining or the hot part of the day, to get out of the sun. But the other side of the house was where they kept those animals. They would bring them in. So you slept inside with your animals on the other side of a little wall. And you could put a lampstand up there and light the whole room, the whole house with a single light. This was what Jesus looked at, and he saw these ordinary things, and he said to you and I as disciples, he said, this is what you represent in the world. You represent a light that can bring light to a whole house. You represent salt of the earth that can bring life and into an oven, that can bring food to the world. We have a purpose here. But how do we know that that's inside of us? When so often we look at ourselves and we take ourselves down, we look at the negative things of our life, and we think that that's what defines us. We think we become what we see in the mirror, that that's who we are. Jesus says, look down deep. That light that you look for is not out here, it's within you. Ananias Nin, an American author, she says that when you get the light, when you discover and see the light that shines inside of you, then you see it outside of you. And I think what she's trying to tell us in those few words, and what Jesus is trying to say as well, is that when you discover your own light, when you discover the power of who you are in God, you start to see it in others. Helps once you get through all that negative stuff in yourself of self-judgment and condemnation of yourself, and you start looking past all the things that you think make you less than a child of God, less worthy to be a child of God, and you begin to see that God sees you differently, and you see yourself the way God sees you. Once you cut through all that darkness and negativity, and that light shines in you, it helps you then to see the light in others, that you're not looking at them and judging them or seeing the negative stuff on the outside. You see in them, just like in yourself, the child within that's crying for attention, that wants to be loved just like anyone else, that wants to know that there's a God who loves them. And that takes us away from all this negative stuff. It frees us from that. Vulnerability, the great thing about becoming vulnerable is it makes you invulnerable. It's sort of another one of the paradoxes of God. By becoming vulnerable to who you are, you no longer are at the whim and the power of others. You become free, and thus no one can hurt you because you know who you truly are. And if we look at Jesus and who he was, Jesus knew just who he was. He didn't have self-doubts with the people that he met with. He didn't struggle with his identity by thinking, oh, maybe I'm not so good, or maybe I'm not the Son of God, or maybe this, or maybe that. He had gone through whatever struggles in the desert to know himself. And when he came out of that self-reflective time, those 40 days in the desert, of really of facing his own vulnerabilities and knowing his identity in his Father, he walked out of that desert and he went in the vulnerability that made him invulnerable, that made him strong and invincible, that he could just go wherever he wanted and tell his story without fear. No one was controlling his life. No one told him, no one made him feel less than who he was, because he'd already gotten there. He'd seen the light, in a sense. And now that light he was sharing with his disciples, it's in you. It's who you are. The power of vulnerability is it makes you invincible, because it makes you a child of God in all that it means. Loved, saved, strengthened, encouraged, stable, focused. Let yourself explore your heart. Don't be afraid of what you're going to find. Don't be afraid of the things that have happened in your past that you've tried to forget about. Look at them with God standing side by side with you, knowing that no matter what you see, no matter what things come up that you think, oh, I wish I could go back and change it, that God is looking at it with you with love. And be strong. Amen.